The last few references to Laban in the Bible only mention him as the one who provided his daughters, Rachel and Leah, with the maidservants Bilhah and Zilpah, whom they gave to their shared husband Jacob, in order to provide him with sons. Laban's two times son-in-law, Jacob, explains to his brother Esau at their tense reunion that he's been working for Laban for the past 20 years. He had left Laban's household under somewhat tense circumstances as well. Rachel and Leah had lost whatever respect they had had for their father and encouraged their husband to move them elsewhere. Jacob and his family left in a hurry, and Laban actually pursued them because Rachel stole from him some idols that were supposed to correspond to the inheritance rights of Laban's household. Laban caught up with Jacob and they argued about the stolen gods, about the past 20 years, about what family ties should remain between them. With little decided except to leave each other alone moving forward, they set up a heap of stones as witness to the decision to leave each other in peace. Jacob sacrificed to the Lord, and Laban kissed his daughters and grandchildren goodbye. He went home, and they continued on to Jacob's home and his tense reunion with Esau. So there wasn't much closure on the time Laban spent as host and employer and father-in-law to Jacob. He got 2 decades of labor out of Jacob, but lost a significant percentage of his flocks in the deal, not to mention his household gods in the end, and his daughters and their maidservants and all their children, too. The deal had gone south on Laban, and he and his sons had noticed. And Jacob noticed that they noticed, and that's when he had begun looking for a way out and even plotting an escape. But things had started out so well from Laban's perspective. Jacob was a hard worker. He was Laban's sister's son. He was family. And he was such a good catch as a husband for Laban's daughter Rachel that Laban snuck his daughter Leah into the exchange and got an additional 7 years of labor from Jacob, who had only ever wanted Rachel. And his flocks and wealth grew under Jacob's care, even if Jacob then had a claim to most of it. Laban got 11 grandsons and a granddaughter from Jacob. The 12th son wouldn't be born until they split company. All these blessings came to Laban from his nephew Jacob, and from the joy he felt to have news of his sister Rebekah. How long since he had seen his sister? Rebekah had left with the servant of the great man Abraham, whom he had sent to find a wife for his son Isaac. Laban had already been acting as the head of the household by then and had welcomed the man and had given both Rebekah and his blessing to Isaac. Maybe looking back, Laban saw that that was the beginning of both his gains and his losses. Maybe he hadn't held on to Rebekah hard enough. Maybe he had held too hard onto Rachel and Leah. Maybe there wasn't any real closure to that thought either when the last of them left him and he went home and left the story to live out the rest of his life in a way unknown to us who stay with Jacob and his wives and his children in Canaan, into Egypt and back into Canaan to become Israel and give us Jesus and then drift throughout history without closure until today. So that's what Laban is to us. He's on the sidelines of the story. He gives to the story, usually hoping to get in return, but not often succeeding at that, at least not in the way he hoped. Laban loses a sister eventually to gain a nephew who becomes twice over his son-in-law and to whom he loses both daughters and 12 actual grandchildren plus another yet to come, not to mention a good deal of his wealth. In fact, if Laban has anything to show for it all in the end, we don't even know, because he's already lost our attention. To us, Laban's is a story of loss. But we've lost things to the salvation story too, haven't we? Not just our Sunday mornings and the hours spent worshiping the God who saves. We've lost people who shared the story with us and have died to go where the story leads. And we've lost people who refuse to share the story with us and to whom we have died because of the changes the story has worked in us and because of their unwillingness to change along with us. We've lost pride to the story that tells us we can do nothing to deserve saving. We've lost pleasures to the story that reveals how worthlessly vain the desires of the sinful flesh are. We've lost our sin to the Savior who died to take that sin away. We are losers too. And we, too, don't get our stories wrapped up neatly with closure. Like Laban, one day each of us will be gone, and nobody will know for sure to where, and only very few will even care, because nobody will be paying attention, even if they might have wanted to. And we'll know that we will have lost everything, because everything that we now call ours will be gone from us, left behind, lost. And the last few references to us will be mere mentions of the things we left behind. And to whom? Will we have anything to show for it all in the end? For what we've lost? Or will it be up to God to give everything to us? Not in return for what we've lost, but a total replacement. In the end, won't it have been God all along, taking from us what we need to lose in order for him to give us what we cannot deserve? And as far as closure goes, all I have to say about that is that you and I are dust and breath, loved by God, bought by Jesus. This podcast is written and produced by me, Ethan Cherney, a Wells pastor serving Bethel Lutheran Church of Menasha, Wisconsin. Get in touch on Facebook at Dust and Breath Pod, on Twitter at Dust Breath Pod, or by emailing dustandbreathpod@gmail.com. Outro music arranged and performed by Mr. Peter Shewe, who is like cold water to a weary soul. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. And if you could leave a review in iTunes or just share an episode on social media, I'd really appreciate it. It's the only way other people can find the show. Now, go do what God made you to do. Be who God called you to be. Go see what God can do with dust and breath and faith in Jesus, his Son.